Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. Sending in reinforcements just 2 days before Thanksgiving. Members of the Air Force arrived to help at hospitals. The National Guard helping with makeshift morgues. And we have just learned tonight 170,000 new cases in just 24 hours. 1,800 more American lives lost in just one day to coronavirus. Hospitalizations on the rise in 48 states, a record high number of patients now reported. And in New York City tonight, the Field Hospital now up and running. The head of the CDC warning tonight we are going to see the healthcare system overwhelmed. And states from California to Florida to Massachusetts now imposing new restrictions heading into the holiday as millions now fly home. Now 3 weeks after the election, the transition tonight formally underway. President-elect Joe Biden rolling out his first cabinet nominees, members of his national security team, the history made. The first woman as director of national intelligence, who said to the president-elect standing right there, "I will speak truth to power. You know I have never shied away from that." The first Latino nominated to run the Department of Homeland Security, the son of immigrants, and his one word, welcome, signaling a major shift in tone and policy. Reporters alerted the president would hold a briefing at the White House today. It was 64 seconds long to celebrate the Dow breaking 30,000 points for the first time. After President Trump repeatedly said the market would crash if Joe Biden was elected. Wall Street analysts tonight saying the transition now underway helped fuel it. The desperate need tonight, millions of American families waiting in line for food. Tens of millions say they're in need. Families in line for the first time. And what many of you did after our report last night. The new Thanksgiving storm now brewing, Ginger Z, with the timing and the track tonight. Two New York City police officers shot and wounded responding to a call, what we've now learned. And the mystery monolith discovered deep in the desert here in the U.S., the metal object discovered by Utah wildlife officials flying overhead, scouring the region for bighorn sheep, finding this instead.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Tuesday night. And we begin tonight with the coronavirus emergency and the new numbers just in tonight, with Thanksgiving just 2 days away. An alarming surge in new cases and millions of Americans on the move for the holiday, and what Dr. Fauci said today about what that could bring. The intense outbreak seen across the nation in red there on the map. Authorities this evening now reporting 170,000 new cases in just the past 24 hours. More than 259,000 lives lost now, more than 1,800 more lives in just the last day. Tonight we mark 14 straight days of record hospitalizations, more than 85,000 patients in hospitals across this country. Air Force nurses arriving in hard-hit Bismarck, North Dakota, the National Guard helping elsewhere tonight, a field hospital reopening on Staten Island here in New York, taking in its first patients. And millions waiting for hours for tests, some waiting 5 hours or more today. Authorities warning against a false sense of security from those tests. And we learned today that 4 million passengers have already taken to the air to travel for the holiday, and that tomorrow is now expected to be the busiest day yet. ABC's Tom Yamas leads us off right here in New York tonight.
Tonight, an all-out battle against a surging virus. Teams of Air Force nurses deployed to overwhelmed hospitals in North Dakota. In El Paso, the National Guard helping out in morgues running out of space. And in New York City, the original epicenter of this pandemic, the first patient transferred into this reopened field hospital on Staten Island, where cases have tripled.
So your field hospital's up and running, and the first patient with COVID has just gone in?
Yes, we're actually in the process. They're on their way. Our first patient is on their way right now. And we'll be taking well over a dozen patients today.
And tonight, with millions on the move, Thanksgiving threatening a nation already facing a dire prognosis.
If, in fact, you're in a situation when you do the things that are increasing the risk, the travel, the congregate setting, not wearing masks, the chances are that you will see a surge superimposed upon a surge.
For the last 14 days, a record number of Americans hospitalized, and this week, a death reported every minute in this country. And despite the CDC warning to avoid travel and gatherings, testing lines from California to Florida to North Carolina only growing as Americans hit the roads and pack airports.
This is the first time that I've traveled during COVID, so I was a little anxious in front of us, the guy coughed in front of us, and we was like, oh my God.
And still, every day, teams on the front lines witnessing unthinkable loss.
You have someone that is dying, actively dying, and you have to set up a FaceTime to hopefully get people involved in the dying process. There are nurses every day that cry because of this.
Today we met 57-year-old Carl Worden, a contractor from South Carolina. He survived COVID, but it ravaged his lungs. That's one of his lungs there on the left. You can see how deformed it appears next to a healthy lung.
They actually had to crack my rib cage open.
Doctors at Brigham and Women's Hospital were able to save his life with a double lung transplant.
Carl, you were one of the lucky ones. You got a second chance. What do you think every time you take a breath now?
I'm thankful every day. Every day I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my family, because they're always there with me. But yeah, people need to pay attention. It's not a joke.
The message from that patient in that bed tonight, and Tom Yamas now outside that field hospital on Staten Island. And Tom, we are learning the CDC is considering shortening the recommended quarantine for people who've been exposed to someone with the virus. We know that stands at 14 days now. Any indication as to what they're going to change that to?
David, that's absolutely right. These comments were just made by the testing czar, Admiral Jawar. Basically, what they're looking at, and they're still investigating this, is changing the potential quarantine time from 14 days, as you just mentioned, to 10 days, accompanied by a negative test. That negative test is key. But again, the guidelines haven't changed. This is something they're actively studying and investigating right now, David.
All right, Tom Yamas leading us off tonight. Tom, thank you. And this evening now marks 3 weeks since the election, and tonight, the transition is now officially underway. President-elect Joe Biden acting quickly, introducing today the first six members of his national security and foreign policy team, making historic choices. And you will hear from them the change in tone already and what each of them signaled. President Trump announcing today with little notice that he would hold a briefing at the White House, and it was brief, about 64 seconds long. He took no questions, celebrating the stock market that he said would crash if Joe Biden was elected. We have both parts covered. ABC's Rachel Scott at Biden Transition Headquarters in Delaware.
With the transition finally underway, President-elect Joe Biden today unveiling much of his national security team with a clear message. The era of America First is over, and we're ready to work with our allies again.
It's a team that reflects the fact that America is back, ready to lead the world, not retreat from it.
President Trump's name mentioned not even once. But everything about today's event amounted to a sharp rebuke. On stage, everyone socially distanced and in masks. The podium wiped down after each speaker. Most of Biden's nominees, Washington veterans he's worked with for years. Longtime aide Tony Blinken, now up for Secretary of State.
As the president-elect said, we can't solve all of the world's problems alone. We need to be working with other countries. We need their cooperation. We need their partnership.
Biden's nominee for ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas Greenfield, a 35-year veteran of the State Department.
I want to say to you, America is back. Multilateralism is back. Diplomacy is back.
Homeland Security nominee Alejandro Mayorkas, the first Latino nominated for the post, and the son of immigrants, setting a new tone.
The Department of Homeland Security has a noble mission to help keep us safe and to advance our proud history as a country of welcome.
And Avril Haines, the first woman nominated as Director of National Intelligence, a role that became politicized under Trump.
Mr. President-elect, you know that I have never shied away from speaking truth to power.
The president-elect also tapping his longtime friend John Kerry for a new position, climate czar, with a permanent seat on the National Security Council.
President Joe Biden will trust in God. And he will also trust in science to guide our work on Earth to protect God's creation.
With the transition now underway, Biden will soon receive national security briefings.
They've been very forthcoming, offering all access, and so we're going to be starting those on a regular basis.
But no contact yet from President Trump.
Mr. President-elect, will you meet with President Trump?
Bus, guys.
Let's get to Rachel Scott with us live from Wilmington tonight. And Rachel, the election, as I mentioned, 3 weeks ago tonight, feels like a long time ago. The transition only beginning last night officially. But tonight you're learning the Biden team already now speaking with all federal agencies and that they've been in touch with Dr. Fauci as well.
Yeah, that's right, David. President-elect Joe Biden saying as soon as those federal agencies were given the green light, the outreach was immediate and sincere. His team now in touch with Dr. Anthony Fauci and Operation Warp Speed about plans to distribute a coronavirus vaccine. And of course, David, this does open the door for Joe Biden to start getting those critical and classified national security briefings. David?
Rachel Scott live in Wilmington for us. Rachel, thank you. And as I mentioned, the president suddenly holding a briefing today at the White House. It lasted just 64 seconds, and it came amid a rise on Wall Street, the Dow soaring today, topping 30,000 for the first time in history. The president came before the cameras to celebrate the Dow after repeatedly saying the market would crash if Joe Biden was elected. Wall Street analysts tonight saying the transition now underway helped fuel it. Here's what the president said.
The stock market's just broken 30,000. Never been broken, that number. That's a sacred number, 30,000. Nobody thought they'd ever see it. And I just want to congratulate all the people within the administration that worked so hard. And most importantly, I want to congratulate the people of our country.
The president left without taking any questions, but John Carl takes the questions. He's right here tonight live in Washington again. John, I know you were in the briefing room. We know the transfer of power now officially underway. You were reporting live on the Air Force last night as this was all underway. President Trump, though, still hasn't conceded. So what's the thinking right now inside the White House? What are you learning?
Well, David, I'm told the president's spending a lot of time in the private dining room right next to the Oval Office. He's talking to friends and supporters at all hours of the day and into the evening. I'm told he is coming around to the reality that Joe Biden will be the next president. But as one of those who has spoken to the president regularly over these past 3 weeks put it to me, quote, "This is a man who can't say he is sorry and who can't say he lost. He needs the world to believe it was stolen from him." So I'm told to expect the lawsuits will continue right until the bitter end. And the president is telling his friends and supporters that he is not going to leave the world of politics no matter what happens. In fact, one person who spoke to who I spoke to today said that the president told him flatly he intends to run for president again. David?
John Carl with us tonight. John, thank you. And with Thanksgiving just 2 days away, we continue to report on the millions of Americans in need. Long lines for food across this nation. Hundreds of cars waiting this morning. These images from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we've seen them everywhere. Many of those reaching out for help, doing so for the first time. And ABC's chief national correspondent, Matt Gutman, reporting in tonight.
Tonight, the nation's need on display in those hours-long lines for Thanksgiving meals in cities across the country.
Happy Thanksgiving.
The pandemic triggering a hunger crisis. 26 million Americans saying their families don't have enough to eat, more than doubling in just months. And as many as 11 million children are going hungry.
What would you do if you didn't have this help for Thanksgiving?
If I didn't have no help, I don't know how I'm going to eat for Thanksgiving.
In Los Angeles, the Grace of God Church handing out 2,000 meals.
We're seeing people come through in Mercedes-Benz and Lexus and Range Rovers who never thought they would be in a position where they'd be in need. But, you know, the thing about need is it has no address.
Feeding America is seeing that trend nationwide of people needing charitable food for the first time.
We're especially concerned about the holidays and the winter ahead. About 40% of the people who are turning to us for help have never before relied upon the charitable food system.
Hundreds lining up in Palm Beach, Florida.
Our landlord kicked us out, and having this definitely helps with my 2.5-year-old son.
In Phoenix, one food bank saying it's given out the most in its 53-year history. Single mom Andrea Thomas forced to make tough decisions.
I pay for medication for both me and my daughter every month and stuff like that, so I've had to really juggle and find out what's a priority and what can wait.
And help coming from across the country. The group East West Food Rescue delivering 18 million meals in 19 states since the pandemic began.
We're going to be delivering boxes to different displaced groups of folks that are definitely waiting for this food.
A lot of hardworking people out there trying to get help to those in need. Matt with us live tonight. And Matt, you know, we reported last night here on so many of these organizations, from Feeding America to East West Food Rescue to FarmLink. And I know you've learned tonight that viewers already responding.
It's an incredible response, David. Just since last night, every organization you just mentioned said that traffic on their websites have spiked, and Give Essential reporting tens of thousands of dollars in donations. East West Food, get this, David, said donations have quadrupled since last night. But it is worth noting that across the country, charitable organizations like these have seen the need for supplies double. David.
And that long line shows the need continues. Matt, thank you for reporting in tonight, and thanks to everybody at home. In the meantime, to the storm system brewing in the Midwest, heading to the Northeast's I-95 corridor by Thanksgiving Day. So, of course, what's it going to mean for holiday travel? Let's get right to Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z, tracking it all for us tonight. Hey, Ginger.
Hey, David, we've already seen the damaging winds in excess of 60 miles per hour from Gage to Woodward, Oklahoma. Oklahoma will take on the severe storms tonight, but Kansas City tonight over through western Illinois, that's where the heaviest rain will be. So I want you to watch as that warm front pushes north if you're traveling 70 or 35 there. Then Chicago tomorrow, 90, 94. Western Kentucky, even Cincinnati as the warm front lifts through, could see severe storms turn into just some heavy rain. They'll lose their intensity by the time they make it to eastern Pennsylvania, Baltimore, or say even Boston. But that makes for a wet Thanksgiving in the Northeast, David.
All right, drive safely. Great to have you, Ginger. Thanks. When we come back here tonight, the mystery monolith discovered from the air deep in the American desert, the metal object showing up out of nowhere.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We turn next here tonight to the two NYPD officers shot here in New York City responding to a domestic dispute. Gunfire erupting inside the home. The suspect was shot and killed. One officer was hit in the hand, the other in the leg. Other officers on the scene rushing them to the hospital. Also here in New York tonight, remembering a former mayor who made history. Former New York City Mayor David Dinkins has died, the first and only African-American mayor in the city's history, proudly describing the city's rich diversity as a gorgeous mosaic. Current Mayor Bill de Blasio calling him a mentor and friend. Mayor David Dinkins was 93. To the index of other news, and we turn now to that mystery in the Utah desert tonight, a metal monolith discovered from the air. A Utah wildlife team counting bighorn sheep by helicopter spotting the object, a shiny triangular monolith, stainless steel. The discovery, of course, prompting all sorts of theories, but tonight officials now say they believe it's an illegal art exhibit. They also don't want to encourage visitors to what is described as extremely rugged terrain. And Elon Musk apparently taking off too. Tesla CEO briefly edging out Bill Gates today to become the world's second richest person behind Amazon's Jeff Bezos. Musk and Gates are now essentially tied, worth about $128 billion each. Musk owns more than 50% of SpaceX, which of course just brought four astronauts to the International Space Station last week. Finally tonight here, the missing dog and the stranger willing to help America strong. Brian James from Cairo, New York is a licensed hiking guide and a drone pilot. He saw this flyer online for a lost dog named Meadow, a one-year-old golden retriever. She was missing from a few towns over in Andes, New York. Brian was moved. He heard many in town were helping to search for Meadow, so he drove over to join in.
I'm realizing that she might be easy to see from the air if we find her before snow.
Flying his drone near where she was last spotted, carefully looking through miles of trees, slowly canvassing when all of a sudden he spots a patch of white. He stops and zooms in.
All right, I was able to get a visual on Meadow from the air.
Then, on foot, he races toward that spot, and he sees her.
Come here!
Meadow runs to Brian, and not long after, she is reunited with her family after being missing for 10 days. And right here tonight.
Hi, David.
Meadow back home with Gary and Debbie Morgan, telling us not only are they overjoyed, that when they saw that video, they couldn't believe it.
At the last second, he saw a small white dot on the forest floor. It was Meadow.
They are thankful to have Meadow home and thankful for Brian, the stranger who answered that call.
And being able to rescue her and
bring her back to us.
And tonight, Brian telling us that everybody's got the capability to help. You never know what will come of it. Meadow home just in time for Thanksgiving, and what a gift, Brian. Good night.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.